T-minus 13. United Nations Headquarters, Manhattan, New York. Although they knew where they were going and who they were joining, Dan and Billy's sudden arrival in the table room was nevertheless greatly disorienting for both of them. For Dan, this was due mainly to the nature of the transport. For Billy, who had experienced a teleportation-like trip in the opposite New York to Birchwood direction so recently, it was simply down to being in the remarkable table room and seeing its two other current inhabitants up close. William Godfrey and Ding Ziyang both rose to their feet. Entirely unsurprised to see Dan, but slightly taken aback by the identity of his companion.
Dan, Godfrey said. Billy.
Shall we get started? Out of politeness, Billy shook both men's hands. All four then sat down while Leisha lifted the necessary cables from inside the recessed inner section of the incredible translation device which sat atop the table. The tenderness of Dan's neck made him hugely relieved that these cables neither touched the neck nor pierced the skin, instead attaching to the tip of the index finger via its small patch-like adhesive end. This was one of three distinct communications-related devices or interfaces Dan had directly encountered, along with the basic cable and the two-part limited uplifter. Considering this already discovered range of devices gave him further hope that he really would find something on New Caer Galen which could cure his daughter's predicament. The sight of these cables, however, also made him acutely aware of the danger of letting this predicament become known by the two men on the other side of the table. While Dan didn't know Ding as well as Godfrey, experience and basic common sense told him it would be unwise to trust anyone who had what it took to rise to a position of such political power. Godfrey, on the other hand, had earned the lens of suspicion through which Dan endlessly considered his motives, even though the two were broadly allied on the same side of a pro-cooperation argument. Leisha, Dan said, catching the alien's attention with a sound he recognized and understood. After all, it was the name his own kind used for him when speaking out loud, as they so rarely did when humans were present. Dan gestured towards the cables, reminding Leisha that he didn't want his or Billy's thoughts to be transmitted to Godfrey or Ding. One wink was enough to ease his mind. Leisha was on it, and that was all he had to know. Seconds later, Leisha handed a cable to each of his human companions. Dan momentarily considered what might happen next. Was Leisha going to talk about New Caer Galen's problems and perhaps seek views from three of Earth's five planetary liaisons? And what of Billy's presence, requested to discuss his find at Dordlu Tepe with New Caer Galen's planetary historians? Would he play a major role in whatever Leisha had in mind for this impromptu table room gathering? Dan and Godfrey, the most experienced, attached their cables first. Ding followed immediately, his first time for a long time, while Billy savored the moment and slowly applied his own. So, Dan spoke aloud. He had to, in order to be heard by the other humans, as Leisha had ensured by either using certain cables or disabling certain functionality, and he knew neither Ding nor Godfrey would be any the wiser. Ding, did the crew explicitly find out that the air is safe? Ding nodded. He too spoke out loud, slowly and deliberately choosing his words.
But naturally, that is far from the main point.
Huh? Dan said, looking at Godfrey for some clue as to what Ding meant.
We knew that almost a week ago, Dan, Godfrey said, furrowing his brow. The crew pushed too far, admittedly with our permission, and placed an omnidirectional telescopic camera at the Great Shelter's high point.
At the same moment he heard Billy Kendrick gasp in awestruck realization, Dan felt goosebumps spreading up his arms and legs. He looked at Leisha. When you mentioned that the human crew's discovery on New Caer Galen is causing all kinds of tensions about what to do next, were you talking about the discovery that the air outside is breathable, or... Leisha slowly and somewhat glumly shook his head.
That discovery whet your crew's appetite for more, he said, the words feeling in some way clearer and more nuanced coming through this table-mounted device than via the basic cable. When the leader feigned ill health and returned with new equipment, like the camera he just mentioned, They conducted more tests, and they discovered something that we cannot explain so easily as atmospheric anomalies.
What did they find? Billy asked all three of Leisha, Godfrey, and Ding at once. The three appeared to silently debate who would say it, with the lack of thoughts coming into Dan's mind from Godfrey and Ding, leading him to think that Leisha had limited all of the human's non-conscious communication for the duration of this conversation. Eventually, William Godfrey took a deep breath and delivered the remarkable news.
Well, Mr. McCarthy, we seem to have accidentally discovered a second shelter.